For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
Thanks, Ben. I'm Jason, if we haven't met. We're working our way through Romans, and this is our last talk for a little while in Romans. We're up to chapter 3 today, as Ben just read. And next week, we're going to kick off a little drive-through of Isaiah. So if you're looking to read something in your quiet time, maybe Isaiah is where to turn through next. But right now, we're going to look at this passage. It's probably one of the most important passages in the Bible, so I probably may not do it the justice it deserves. But what we can do is pray that God would keep us awake for the next lot of minutes, and that he'd help us to understand this monumental message that he's giving to us here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for speaking to us in the scriptures. Lord, we pray that we'd understand what you have to say to us now. And Lord, we pray that we'd get the gravity of it, that you've stepped into history and you've done something to permanently change us. Father, help us to understand, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got the Queensland election coming up later in the year, and it's very easy for people to get worked up over politics. I used to get worked up over politics. I'm not as worked up as I used to be. Depends how tight I am, I guess. I get worked up about more things the tighter I am. When we do want a better Queensland, though, don't we? We want less crime. We want a better health system. We want better roads. We want better education. We don't want to lapse back into the same cycles over and over again. But it's difficult to fix all that stuff, isn't it? Because history's shown, no matter which party or person is in power anywhere in the world, we always fall back into the same cycles. There's no change of government that's ever happened on any side in human history where everyone's gone, at last, it's perfect. Let's get rid of social media. We don't need to complain anymore. Everything's perfect. We're content. That's never happened. I think we learnt last week why that's never happened. That's because none of us, not even the best of us, measure up to the life that we were made for. None of us are any better than the other. We learnt last week that we're all not right with our Creator God. We're all kind of sinners. We're broken people in a broken world. And that means the people who run for parliament, they're always going to be sinners. They're always going to be broken people in a broken world. And as much as we want perfection, our theology says we're never going to get it. Not from these guys. Which takes a bit of the sting out of the debate, doesn't it? Because you can't really rally and get behind people and say this is going to make things perfect when we know that it's not. But imagine, just suspend reality for a second, imagine if something happened and all of a sudden there was a new government and they were so good that there were no negative comments on social media, no negative news stories. Imagine if our election brought about a permanent and perfect change to Queensland and our lives. That's not going to happen. We can only imagine it, because all governments fall short, even the best ones. But what we're going to see today is God has done something in history to bring about a permanent and perfect change for us. And this permanent and perfect change that God's brought about for us, it's more significant than who's in government. It's the most significant thing for us. God's done something in human history that enables people like me and you to make a perfect and permanent change to our standing with him. He's done something in history to make us right with him. And this is Paul's good news. This is really his gospel. We've heard the bad news week after week. Thanks for still coming along. This is the good news. And I need it. And if you weren't here last week, you need it too. So let's turn to this passage and let's think through this good news. This passage is so chocked with theology. I'm sure more books have been written on this passage than any other part of the Bible. Have a look at what it says from verse 21. But now, and I hadn't noticed the now before, but it's significant because it's like now in history. At this point in time, God's intervened. This is an intervention act. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. So we've had the sin, we've done that, we've seen the world's broken, we've seen that it's depraved, but now God's intervened. The law and the prophets spoke about the righteousness of God. What are the law and the prophets? Well, it's our Old Testament. The Old Testament, it spoke about this righteousness of God all through history. It spoke about a time when God would remove sin as far as the east is from the west. It spoke about a time when God would remove our sins and remember our sins no more. God spoke about that time. This is the just God who cannot be in the presence of sin. We'll see next week when we look at Isaiah chapter 6 that sin and God don't mix, like oil and water don't mix. The just God, all through the Old Testament, looked forward to a time when he would be with his people and remember their sin no more. And everybody's thinking, how can that work? How can God be true to himself and have this people of his own, even though they sin? How can God be righteous? How can we be righteous? Well, verse 21 says, hold on to your hats, because now he's made it known. He's done it. He's revealed to us how we can have a right standing with him, even though we sin. In fact, in verse 22, he says, we can get this righteousness, this right standing God's given to us through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's just through faith. It's not through what we do, but it's by trusting in something somebody else has done. We can get it through faith. And it's available to all, that is, anybody, Jew, Gentile, wise, foolish, poor, rich. Anybody who puts their faith in Jesus can be declared righteous. Although our sins be red as scarlet, God can see us as white as snow. All who believe. Verse 23 says, we all need this righteousness. It's one of the greatest verses and the most tragic in the Bible. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it says. We were made to be God's image bearers, right? We were the ones who were meant to represent God's glory to the world, like the possums were meant to look at us, the fruit bats were meant to look at us, the stars were meant to look at us and go, wow, look at the glory of God in those people. It's amazing. They love each other so perfectly all the time. But we fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. So the only way any of us can be declared right with God is because he stepped into history and made his righteousness known through Jesus. He hasn't told us how that's taken care of sin yet, but he's done it. Now verse 24 says, all, that is anybody who believes, are justified. That means we're acquitted of our guilt, declared innocent, justified, and it says freely, as in, God wasn't obliged to make us right with him. We didn't deserve it. He didn't owe us anything. But through faith by his grace, we can be declared right with him. Somehow, the end of verse 24 says he's redeemed us by Christ Jesus. Somehow he's paid the price for our sin by Christ Jesus. He hasn't told us how yet. Somehow he set us free from slavery to sin. Somehow he set us free from death. Somehow he's made us right with the God of life. And it's all through faith. God's done it. We wondered how he was going to do it. It didn't make sense that a holy God could live in the presence of sinners. But he's revealed his righteousness. And all we need to do is believe to be part of it. One of our boys moved out of home recently, and for most of his life, as far as he knew, meals just magically turned up on the table each night with no effort from him. He just had to turn up and eat it. It was amazing. It was like a miracle. But recently, since he's been living away from home, one of his biggest struggles has been that these meals were actually prepared at substantial cost, both financial and time. Usually, let's be totally honest, by his mum, occasionally by his dad, possibly even more by his siblings. But now he gets it. What was unknown has been revealed to him. These meals were prepared in advance, and they're costly. Finally, he sees what's always been there, but it's just been made known. That's a bit like what's happened here. You know, no human in history has ever been good enough for God. They've never been sin-free. Not even like, you think of all the most popular Christian names, not even like Isaiah, not even Abraham, not even Moses. None of those guys have been good enough for God. Yet how could they have a place with him in glory? Well, God's made it known. He's revealed to us. He's shown us how it works. Those guys got it for free, through faith. God did it by paying for our sin through Jesus. God stepped into history and he saved a people of his own by grace through faith. All the people of God have ever done to become his people up until this very day is believe. That's been the marker. Now you might be thinking to yourself, that sounds too easy. But that's the way Christianity works, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You become part of the people of God through faith, by believing in what God has done for you. No matter how marred or scarred you feel by your sin, and some of us feel very scarred by it, make no mistake, if your faith is in Jesus, you are justified, you are free, you have been acquitted, God has paid the price for you, you are right with him. This is how it's always worked. For Abraham, for Moses, for King David, for any great Christian from history. Their sin, without doubt, was red as scarlet. But by grace through faith, God made them as white as snow. This is why Christians shouldn't think of themselves as better than other people. We're just not. We're just people who know we need saving. That's our common marker. We're people who know we need saving, and God's offered us saving. He's offered us forgiveness and new life through Christ. We know we need someone to change our standing before God. And this is why it's silly when Christians worship other Christians and put them on a pedestal and uphold them as though they're even better people. We shouldn't do that, because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are any better. Every Christian at any stage has or will or is capable of committing a catastrophic sin. It's part of our DNA. And when Christians put their faith in other Christians and then those Christians commit catastrophic sins, it's heartbreaking and some people fall away. But friends, we don't have our faith in other Christians. We have our faith in the one who's provided us with salvation by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want a permanent and perfect change in our standing with God, and through faith in Jesus, we can have that. God's paid for our sin, he's redeemed us, the worst of us. Repeatedly, the Apostle Paul calls himself the worst of sinners, yet he says God has intervened even to save him. His job was rounding up Christians to imprison them and kill them. Yet he says, I'm saved by God's faith, by God's grace through faith. How has God made that possible? Has he just clicked his fingers and said, okay, I know they sin, but if they believe in me, if they kind of wish upon me like, you know, we might wish upon a rainbow, they can be saved? No, that's not what's happened. God hasn't just clicked our sin away or wished our sin away. He's paid for our sin. He's taken the cost of our sin on himself by his Son, God the Son, shedding his blood as payment for our sin. Have a look from verse 25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. That is, instead of me and you bearing God's anger toward our sin on judgment day, God presented his son Jesus as a sacrifice on the cross to bear God's anger on our behalf. His blood paid the price for our rebellion against our Creator God. This is what we call the crux of the matter. Crux comes from the word crucifix, which is the cross. This is the heart of the thing. This is how God dealt with our sin. The God who must judge and punish sin punished it perfectly when he sacrificed his son, his own son. So it was a great act of grace, a great act of sacrifice, but it was a great act of love. The Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh and laid down his life for us. This is how anyone can be right with God. This is how God can be just, yet also dwell in heaven with sinners. Jesus, God the Son in human flesh, bore God's anger toward our sin. He took the punishment for our sin on himself. And we receive justification. We receive forgiveness by faith, not in what we do, but in what Jesus has done. This is how God's always worked. This is how it's always been. God says that pretty much in verse 25. He says he demonstrated his own righteousness by punishing sin on the cross. He didn't leave Abraham's sins unpunished. He didn't leave the sins of those before him unpunished. He punished all sin on the cross, just as he does in the present with our sin. Through faith in Jesus' death on the cross, Christians can be saved. This seems repetitious, right? But there's like only a handful of verses here that go out of their way to elaborate in great detail how it is you can be right with God. Is it by what you do? In Christianity Explored, when we do the topic of grace in week 6, there's a question at the end of the video that we watch together, and the question is, what do you need to do to be right with God? And a lot of people will say, I guess I just need to make sure I'm doing as good as I can. That's not how you're right with God. How is it you're right with God? You're right with God by faith in what Jesus has done. In Christianity Explored, one of the great images in the videos is of the London skyline. On top of one tall building is a statue of Lady Justice. That's called Old Bailey, I think, that building. She has the scales of justice in one hand and a sword in the other. And what she's a reminder of is, if you commit the crime, the sword must fall. But across the skyline, on St. Paul's Cathedral, is the crucifix, is the cross. And that's a reminder that because of Jesus, the sword of judgment has fallen on his son, God's son instead of us. Now we can either go to the grave and face God, taking our sin ourselves, hoping to somehow make it through his judgment. Or we can say, no, thank you, Father. I have faith in your son, and I accept that he's borne the cost of my sin for me. And then we're right. Friends, this is the best deal for us. If you're a sinner and you come to Jesus in faith, your justice is done. Jesus has paid the price for your sin. You're not only forgiven by God, but you are completely justified. You are acquitted of all charges. Somebody's found your file. They've gotten rid of it. God sees you as he sees his own child. You can call him Father, knowing full well that he sees you 100% as his son or daughter. By faith in Jesus, you can cry out to God in prayer with confidence, because the way's been opened up. Nothing stands in the way. God's not going, oh yeah, Jason's a minister, I'll listen to him, his prayers are more powerful. No, he's going, Jason's a sinner. He's been washed clean by the blood of Christ. Therefore, I'm happy to have him as part of my family. I love it when he talks to me. He says the same thing about David. He says the same thing about Bob, about Eliza. When we come to him in faith, He sees us as part of his forever family, and we can approach him with confidence. We're no longer his enemy, but we're his children. This is the best deal for us. Let me ask as we finish up, have you received this wonderful gift? There are lots of things that will never change in our broken world. There are lots of cycles that we won't be able to break. But your standing with God can change in a moment. The moment you believe, your standing with God will change permanently and perfectly. You will be his child, and he will never let you go. Have you accepted that gift? In a moment, your forever can change if you believe. I'm going to invite you now to pray to God with me in your head. And I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. I'm going to confess that I'm a sinner. I'm going to do it out loud. You can do it in your head. I know you're sinners. And I'm going to ask God to forgive me through the precious gift and sacrifice of his son, fully confident that he has. And he will. And I'm going to thank him that now I am permanently and perfectly a part of his family. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you as sinners. We've not loved you as we should. We have not loved the people you've put in our lives as we ought. Father, we ask you for forgiveness through the precious gift and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we ask for with confidence because we know that we have that forgiveness when we put our trust in you. Lord, help us to believe today and every day set before us until the day we're with you in glory. Thank you, Father, that through faith in your Son, we're now your children. And we pray this in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing, I think it's Jesus, Thank You, is that right? This song is basically